Next case for argument, United States versus Lawton, Mr. Goldwitzer.
May it please the court, my name is Arthur Goldwitzer. I represent the appellant and defendant Andre Lawton. We respectfully request that this court reverse the judgment of the district court for two reasons. First, the only issue in Mr. Lawton's trial was whether or not he made a mistake, his credibility. And the district court erred when it would not let Mr. Lawton respond to the government's attack on his credibility.
Now, of course, Mr. Lawton was able to explain that he didn't deliberately and knowingly write bad checks, so that even if we thought that Judge Crabb should have allowed him to testify that he repaid the merchant, wouldn't any error be harmless given that she allowed at least a partial explanation?
We do not think so, Your Honor, for a couple reasons. First, Mr. Lawton was not allowed to give a full explanation. On redirect examination, his trial counsel tried to elicit testimony from him. It was met with two objections, sustained both times, and he dropped the issue. Second, and in that vein, Mr. Lawton would have given a more complete explanation. The government was using those checks to tell the jury, don't believe he made a mistake, he's a liar. Mr. Lawton, the full facts surrounding those checks show that he wasn't passing bad checks. It was a mistake. And second, the fact that Mr. Lawton was able to give a partial explanation actually made matters worse. The government emphasized not only the checks, but the partial explanation in its closing argument. The government said, quote, to the jury in closing, Mr. Lawton tells you, well, I didn't know the account was closed, but yet he admits he's the only one who's on the account. Does that make sense to you, ladies and gentlemen? That's what the government said to the jury. But the problem is, the reason, if it doesn't make sense, is because the government objected to, and the court sustained the objection, preventing Mr. Lawton from giving a full explanation. With the government chose to make the checks the core of its case, a very significant part of the core of its case. The government moved in limine to bring the checks in. The government knew that it had some other materials with which it could impeach Mr. Lawton, but it decided that's not enough. We need the checks, so it moved in limine. The government then focused on the checks both in redirect and closing. On top of that, as I just explained, the government limited Mr. Lawton's ability to give the rest of the facts and used that partial explanation against him. I mean no disrespect to the government, but that is playing both sides of the street, and that's not fair. This error, this court has held on several occasions that when there is an evidentiary error and it goes to the only issue in dispute in a case, that error is deemed to have had a substantial effect on the jury. It is deemed to be not harmless. In U.S. versus Peek, this court said,
what's deemed not to be harmless?
The error, Your Honor.
Why? I don't understand.
When there is only one issue in the case and there is an evidentiary issue, evidentiary error affecting that issue, it cannot, as a matter of law, be a harmless error. In U.S. versus Peek, Judge Cudahy wrote, when erroneously excluded evidence would have been the only evidence in support of or in opposition to a claim or defense, its exclusion is deemed to have had a substantial effect on the jury. And Judge Cudahy went on to warn courts and lawyers and judges to be careful about substituting legal judgments as to how we perceive evidence for how the lay mind perceives evidence. And it's how the lay mind perceives evidence, the trial by jury, that Mr. Lawton was entitled to in this case. The government...
I don't see what good it would have done him to be able to have a song and dance about these checks.
Your Honor, we believe it. First of all, we don't know whether it would have done good or not. That's, in large part, our point. The jury was denied the opportunity to evaluate all the facts. Second, I respectfully disagree that it would be a big production. Mr. Lawton simply wanted to explain that he didn't know the account was closed, he wasn't a thief, and therefore the government's accusation that in a sense he's a double liar, he didn't make a mistake, he lied on the form, and how do you know? Because he passed his bad check. That was all, that wasn't right, and Mr. Lawton didn't get a chance to explain that. We should think about who should bear the risk
of... One mistake too much, probably.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
One mistake too many to be very persuasive of the jury.
But we do not know, and that's, I think, the point of Judge Cudahy's opinion in U.S. versus Peek. We should think about...
This is a plain error case, isn't it?
The evidentiary issue, Your Honor, no, is a harmless error standard.
What if there was no objection?
The government does not have that law correct, Your Honor. The government, Mr. Lawton offered evidence on redirect. The government objected. The court sustained the objection. Mr. Lawton had no further obligation to object.
No, that's right. Okay, that's fine.
We should think about who bears the risk, who bears the cost of this sort of decision in this case. The government chose an aggressive trial strategy, focusing on impeaching Mr. Lawton every way it could. That's the government's decision. The cost of allowing Mr. Lawton to explain, give the full set of facts, is minimal. It was 1, 2, maybe 5 more minutes of the jury's time and of the court's time. Juxtaposed against...
So how is it going to do him any good?
How would allow giving the full...
Yeah, how is 1 minute testimony which said, oh, it was another mistake I made? How is that going to affect the jury?
Again, Your Honor, we don't know. But that's exactly the point. The only issue here with Mr. Lawton's credibility, and by giving him a couple minutes to explain that the bank didn't notify him the account was closed and he's not a thief, he paid for the goods, compare that to the potential cost to Mr. Lawton of an unfair verdict. 3.5 years of his life. 2 minutes versus 3.5 years.
And what was his explanation for why he signed the firearms form and didn't disclose the information that he was under?
In this very short trial, one day, Mr. Lawton took the stand as the only witness for the defense, and he explained he was in a hurry. We weren't there. He had bought guns before. He owned a couple firearms, he admitted at trial. He went to a licensed gun dealer. There was someone waiting outside in the car for him. He filled out the form. It's a form he had filled out on several previous occasions, and he filled it out exactly the same way. He said it's a mistake, and the statute that he was indicted under requires the government to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that...
Did he make other mistakes on the form?
No, Your Honor. But it was in evidence that he was in a hurry. He abbreviated his address, and he was in La Crosse County at the time. He abbreviated that LAX, which he testified was because he was in a hurry and there was someone waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Golis.
Thank you.
Mr. Rumbelo?
May it please the Court. Rita Rumbelow for the United States. I represented the United States in the district court below, and the government does concede that in its brief it should not have argued that the standard of review for the first issue was plain error. It is an abuse of discretion standard of review, but that still does not change the analysis. The district court did not abuse its discretion when it sustained the government's objections during Mr. Lawton's redirect testimony. As set forth in the government's brief and as the court already noted, Mr. Lawton's defense was not that he paid restitution or accepted responsibility for these worthless checks. His defense was that he made a mistake when he filled out question 9B of the ATF form 4473. So his explanation of paying restitution and accepting responsibility for these worthless checks was just completely irrelevant and inadmissible, so the district court did not abuse its discretion. And now, just because Mr. Lawton on appeal claims...
What was irrelevant?
the fact that he paid restitution and, in his opinion, accepted responsibility for these worthless checks. That was the evidence that he tried to elicit during his redirect testimony.
Well, Mr. Gillis said that I thought what he wanted to, maybe I misunderstood. I thought that Lawton's one-minute explanation was just going to be that he'd made a mistake. He's mistake-prone.
He definitely had the theory of defense that he was prone to making mistakes.
But didn't he want to testify that these checks were just, it was a mistake on his part rather than being fraudulent?
Correct. And he did tell the jury that twice during my cross-examination of him.
And
he told the jury,
wouldn't the fact that he repaid the merchants lend at least some support to Mr. Lawton's claim that he wrote the bad checks inadvertently?
Perhaps, but again, the question is, did the district court abuse its discretion in sustaining the government's objection? And there was not an abuse of discretion because the evidence really was irrelevant.
But
whether,
well, wasn't it very awkward to, you know, allow him to sort of answer half of the circumstances underlying the four checks, the four invalid checks, and not allowing him to finish his explanation? I mean, she cut his explanation off right in the middle, right?
Well, it was on redirect. His explanation for, you know, the fact that he thought that he did not know the account was closed, that was during cross-examination. And then on redirect, no, I don't think it was awkward because, if you rob a bank and then all of a sudden pay restitution, does that make the crime any less?
Well, are you saying the only offer of proof on redirect was about the restitution? It wasn't about it being a mistake?
Correct. Mr. Lawton, his theory of defense at trial was that he made a mistake when he completed the ATF form 4473, question 9B. He chose to put his credibility in issue at trial by taking the stand. The government impeached him pursuant to Rule 608B, but you have to look at the record as a whole. He was telling this entire story on direct examination that he made a mistake on the ATF form 4473. The government, even though it didn't have to, provided advance notice of some of the 608B evidence, and there was additional 608B evidence also offered at the trial, that being that he consistently provided a false identity to police officers, which he admitted. So if you look at the record as a whole and ask yourself whether or not the district court abused its discretion in limiting his redirect testimony, the government believes the answer is no, because it wouldn't have made, whether or not he accepted responsibility for the 608B evidence and whether or not he paid restitution on 608B evidence, doesn't make it more or less probable that, yes, he did indeed make a mistake on this ATF form 4473, question 9B. So again, if you look at the record as a whole, it was not an abuse of discretion for the district court to sustain the government's objections.
I haven't been able to find anything in the appendix about, you know, what the guideline was. Do you remember what the guideline was?
No. There wasn't a sentencing issue raised on appeal, but I think his sentence was 41.
It was 41 months, but
his guideline range may have been.
I mean, was that the high end of the guidelines? It sounds.
It may have been. But again, that took into consideration Mr. Lawton's criminal history category.
Which was? That's what I was trying to find.
I think it was criminal history category 4, but I don't remember off the top of my head. Unless the court has any other questions, the government asks that the court affirm the judgment and conviction order of the district court.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rumbelow. Mr. Goldwitzer, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Thank you, Your Honor. The government focuses on whether or not Mr. Lawton made restitution. And restitution is the key word because it assumes that he stole something. That was their point in using these checks in front of the jury in the first place. if Mr. Lawton had been able to give a full explanation, the jury would have understood he didn't try to steal anything. There was
well,
no
wait a second. According to Ms. Rumbelow, on cross-examination, he said that the checks had been a mistake, and she says that all you wanted to do on redirect, your offer of proof on redirect, was that he had paid restitution. Is that correct?
I disagree, Your Honor. Mr. Lawton's trial counsel's examination of Mr. Lawton on redirect was cut off. He tried to ask two questions. One of them was...
Well, wait a second. Is Ms. Rumbelow correct that during her cross-examination of him, he did say that this was a mistake?
Yes, that is correct.
And so what would the redirect have added? The restitution is irrelevant. I don't understand that. The restitution is an acknowledgement of, I don't know, acknowledgement that the bank weren't entitled to the money. So I don't know what that does. Was there something else in the offer of proof?
Mr. Lawton's trial counsel asked him if he accepted responsibility for the check, and that question was objected to.
Well, that's irrelevant. I don't understand that at all. That's irrelevant.
It
that's
is.
Like saying, do you accept responsibility for having committed the crime you have to do to get a discount on your sentence?
We disagree respectfully, Your Honor, because there was no crime relating to the
No, no, but to accept responsibility doesn't say anything about the underlying conduct. You can accept responsibility for being a mass murderer or for having made a mistake.
The case focused solely on whether or not Mr. Lawton made a mistake.
But accepting responsibility is irrelevant to that.
We disagree because, and you don't have to believe us, look at the government's Your Honor, I see
well,
my
you're
time
just wrong about that. But you said that he would have had another question he wanted to ask, not just about responsibility.
The other question he asked was, I think he asked whether he paid for the check, but I don't remember exactly. It's on page 60.
Well, that's the same question, isn't it?
It's a more pointed question, yes, Your Honor.
But again, what Ms. Rumbelow says is, look, the fact that you pay back the money that you stole doesn't mean you didn't steal it.
We disagree with the fundamental assumption that he stole money in the first place.
No, of course not. But the point is, accepting responsibility doesn't tell you what the underlying conduct for which you're accepting responsibility is, whether you made a mistake or you'd actually tried to defraud the bank.
Your Honor, we disagree most fundamentally because the government introduced this evidence into the case. And as I said before, the unfairness here is the government seeking to use the check, then limiting the explanation of the check. And
but the explanation that you wanted to give was irrelevant.
But on top of that, the government emphasized in closing the half explanation. And that's what
but it isn't a half explanation. Your client said that Lawton said that he didn't that the checks were a mistake. That's the only thing that's relevant. The fact that he paid them is irrelevant because he would have done that whether it was a mistake or whether it was deliberate.
We believe the jury had a right to hear, or the Mr.
Why?
Lawton had a right.
I don't understand you. What difference can it make? He agrees to pay them back. So what?
You're just
trying to portray him as a good guy, although for all we know, he paid them back because he was threatened with another prosecution.
The government tried to portray him as a bad guy and a liar, and a multiple liar, and we were trying to show the jury that that
so
wasn't
the good guy. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So you were appointed, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of the client.
Thank you, Your Honor.